Audible Frontiers presents Hyperion, written by Dan Simmons and read by Victor Babine, Allison Johnson, Kevin Parisot, Jay Snyder, and Mark Vidor.
Prologue. The Hegemony Consul sat on the balcony of his ebony spaceship and played Rachmaninoff's Prelude in C-sharp minor on an ancient but well-maintained Steinway, while great, green, saurian things surged and bellowed in the swamps below. A thunderstorm was brewing to the north. Bruise-black clouds silhouetted a forest of giant gymnosperms, while stratocumulus towered 9 kilometers high in a violent sky. Lightning rippled along the horizon. Closer to the ship, occasional vague reptilian shapes would blunder into the interdiction field, cry out, and then crash away through indigo mists. The consul concentrated on a difficult section of the prelude and ignored the approach of storm and nightfall. The fatline receiver chimed. The consul stopped, fingers hovering above the keyboard, and listened. Thunder rumbled through the heavy air. From the direction of the gymnosperm forest, there came the mournful ululation of a carrion breed pack. Somewhere in the darkness below, a small-brained beast trumpeted its answering challenge and fell quiet. The interdiction field added its sonic undertones to the sudden silence. The fat line chimed again.
"Damn,"
said the consul, and went in to answer it. While the computer took a few seconds to convert and decode the burst of decaying tachyons, the consul poured himself a glass of scotch. He settled into the cushions of the projection pit, just as the disky blinked green.
"Play,"
he said.
"You have been chosen to return to Hyperion,"
came a woman's husky voice. Full visuals had not yet formed. The air remained empty except for the pulse of transmission codes, which told the consul that this fat-line squirt had originated on the Hegemony administration world of Tau Ceti Center. The consul did not need the transmission coordinates to know this. The aged but still beautiful voice of Mayna Gladstone was unmistakable.
"You have been chosen to return to Hyperion as a member of the Shrike Pilgrimage," continued the voice.
"The hell you say,"
thought the consul and rose to leave the pit.
"You and 6 others have been selected by the Church of the Shrike and confirmed by the All Thing,"
said Mayna Gladstone.
"It is in the interest of the Hegemony that you accept."
The consul stood motionless in the pit, his back to the flickering transmission codes. Without turning, he raised his glass and drained the last of his scotch.
"The situation is very confused,"
said Mayna Gladstone. Her voice was weary.
"The Consulate and Home Rule Council fatlined us 3 standard weeks ago with the news that the Time Tomb showed signs of opening. The anti-entropic fields around them were expanding rapidly, and the Shrike has begun ranging as far south as the Bridal Range."
The Consul turned and dropped into the cushions. A hollow had formed of Mayna Gladstone's ancient face. Her eyes looked as tired as her voice sounded.
"A force-based task force was immediately dispatched from Parvati to evacuate the Hegemony citizens on Hyperion before the time tombs open. Their time debt will be a little more than 3 Hyperion years.
Mayna Gladstone paused. The consul thought he had never seen the Senate CEO look so grim.
"We do not know if the evacuation fleet will arrive in time,"
she said.
"But the situation is even more complicated. an ouster migration cluster of at least 4,000 units has been detected approaching the Hyperion system. Our evacuation task force should arrive only a short while before the ousters.
The consul understood Gladstone's hesitation. An ouster migration cluster might consist of ships ranging in size from single-person ram scouts to can cities and comet forts holding tens of thousands of the interstellar barbarians.
The force joint chiefs believe that this is the ouster's big push,
said Mayna Gladstone. The ship's computer had positioned the hollow so that the woman's sad brown eyes seemed to be staring directly at the consul.
Whether they seek to control just Hyperion for the time tombs, or whether this is an all-out attack on the world web, remains to be seen. In the meantime, a full force space battle fleet, complete with a Farcaster construction battalion, has spun up from the CAM system to join the evacuation task force. But this fleet may be recalled, depending upon circumstances.
The consul nodded and absently raised the scotch to his lips. He frowned at the empty glass and dropped it onto the thick carpeting of the hollow pit. Even with no military training, he understood the difficult tactical decision Gladstone and the Joint Chiefs were faced with. Unless a military Farcaster were hurriedly constructed in the Hyperion system, at staggering expense, there would be no way to resist the ouster invasion. Whatever secrets the Time Tombs might hold would go to the hegemony's enemy. If the fleet did construct a Farcaster in time, and the hegemony committed the total resources of force to defending the single, distant, colonial world of Hyperion, the world web ran the terrible risk of suffering an ouster attack elsewhere on the perimeter, or, in a worst-case scenario, having the barbarians actually seizing the Farcaster and penetrating the web itself. The consul tried to imagine the reality of armored ouster troops stepping through Farcaster portals into the undefended home cities on 100 worlds.